Northgate Community Church. How you guys doing? And, of course, Facebook family. There's a lot of y'all checking us out on Sunday mornings, Saturday nights, and, of course, Friday. We're really excited to have you guys here tonight, this morning. It's tonight because we're recording it tonight. So, but you can watch us anytime, though, right, Chen? So I have a very special guest here. I don't know if you know this guy. I'm definitely learning to learn him these last couple weeks. This is Northgate's new lead pastor, Chen Vu.
Hey, everyone. It's good to be here. Thanks for voting me in.
Yes, thank you, everybody who voted. Chen, this is our final week in the series, Won't You Be My Neighbor? And we've spent the last several weeks looking at, like, literal neighboring, like, literally neighboring the people right next door to us. So the Bobs and the Sandys and the people, getting to know their names, getting to know their stories. Then we took a little detour and did, then after that we talked about neighboring in a city. And that was with me and Doug Montandon, talked about Love, Inc. and all the cool things that are happening there. And then we actually had, like, a doubleheader neighboring internationally with my buddy Bill Ludwig, and of course our local favorite Jim Todd. Can't forget Jim Todd there. And today we're landing the plane, and we're gonna be talking about this idea of neighboring as a church, like the Big C Church, Northgate, where the churches are at with COVID and all this kind of stuff, our insights. And so I think it's gonna be a pretty good conversation.
Yeah, I'm excited, Pastor Jesse. Thanks so much for having me, being part of this last leg of the neighboring conversation. I've been really thrilled to listen in on and see what God is doing here as well, locally and globally.
Yeah, excellent. So let's kick things off here. Let me go ahead and pray, and then we got a series of questions to kind of go through, and we'll go from there. So let's go ahead and pray. So Heavenly Father, just thank you for technology that helps keep us all connected, Lord. Thank you for my brother Chen as he steps into this new position. I just pray that you would just bless this conversation as we talk about your church, Lord, your bride, and its influence in our community, in all the spheres, Lord, local neighbors, city, state, and beyond, Lord. We just continue to pray that you just bless this time and this conversation. Pray this in your name. Amen. So, Chen, right out of the gates, we're doing this virtually because there's still a pandemic, and we still can't meet in person. How do we think that COVID has shifted the effectiveness of the church, and maybe even effectiveness is different? Maybe how has the pandemic accelerated where the church was and where it's going in these short few months?
Yeah, I think that's a great question, and I'm going to answer it from just, you know, my perspective, in a sense of I haven't been pastoring as much throughout this pandemic, but here are some of my thoughts, and, you know, just watching, observing, and praying, is that I think, you know, the pandemic has brought some challenges and also some new opportunities to minister to people, and I think it depends on the responses that we as leaders and as even Christians in the community, you know, whether it has been effective or not effective has been dependent a lot on where, you know, the context of our ministry in some extent. And I think maybe I could start with thinking about maybe some of the inadequacy I think that the pandemic has really pointed out about where the, you know, where the focus of the church has been. And I think, you know, from my observation, and also from the observation of a lot of other leaders, and perhaps maybe not in the United States, but maybe outside of the United States, in places where church attendance has declined, maybe in Europe, for example, I think one of the observation is that Sunday morning has become less important. Because culturally, people just don't look at Sunday morning the same way they did back in the day.
Yeah.
Right. Where, oh, hey, if I have a problem, I'm going to go to church on Sunday morning. That's just not it anymore, you know. And I think the pandemic, in some way, kind of shut that reality in front of us.
Yeah.
Because people are not going to church in a I guess, in a traditional sense anymore, right? And so then the church has to really pivot and really think about, okay, how do we minister to people, not just on Sunday, but Monday till Saturday?
Yeah, I mean, that's really been one of our biggest, like, with a lot of churches, because, you know, we're all friends with all of the other pastors here in town, too, is there's this idea of pivoting things from children's ministry to outreach. Like, outreach, you know, which is one of my specialties here, one of my focuses, it's like, oh, especially when it first happened, it was like, oh, we can't just hand things out to people, right? So we have to be able to be cognitive of this idea of, oh, how many contact points were there from getting this thing to this person? I think we pivoted pretty well. We'll go over a few of those things in the past, but I definitely think that it definitely showed some of the inadequacies or insecurities of our structure as it is as a whole.
Yeah.
So very interesting there. Moving right along here, how have we seen churches in our community respond to the pandemic? What are some of the things that we've seen in our community from other churches and even from Northgate specifically too?
You know, I think I'm gonna share, I guess, a story.
Okay.
And because even in the midst of this, even in the midst of our inadequacy, God is sufficient.
Mm, yeah.
You know, and I think that's what really gives me hope as a leader, you know, and as a believer, is that God is doing something, you know, in 2020. And so, you know, I guess the place where I've done a lot of ministry, frankly, is at the park.
Yeah, okay,
where,
yeah.
Where every single day, you know, for sometimes 6 or 7 days a week, I'm at the park, you know.
With Timmy.
Yeah, with little Timmy, my two-year-old son. And we just talk to people and interact with their children. And, you know, and I actually, you know, got to meet some really, really, really unique people. And one gentleman that we talked to, you know, he was out there hitting the baseball, you know, and then throwing football with his son and all that. And then, you know, I start talking to him and find out more about his life. And then he found out that, you know, I'm in ministry. And then he's like, oh, yeah, you know, I just recently gave my life to the Lord.
Oh, okay, yeah.
Right? And I'm like, oh, tell me more.
Yeah, all right.
He's like, well, you know, I go to the church and, you know, Sunday morning usually I would not go to church with my wife at all.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Yeah. My wife would take the kids and they go and they have a good time and they come back. I'm like hanging out at the house, doing my own thing. But since this whole COVID thing, you know, church moved to our house.
Yeah.
Literally.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Right?
Yeah.
And he's like, I didn't have a choice but to watch, in a sense, you know, with my children and with my wife. And I heard the gospel and, you know, it touched my heart and God grabbed a hold of my heart and, you know, I gave my life to Jesus and I got baptized.
Yeah,
that's pretty cool.
I mean, that's a pretty good story right there. Yeah, I mean, that's a pretty good outcome.
So I think that's one way I've seen, you know, God has used the local church through online services to really reach into the homes. Otherwise, wouldn't have been reached.
Yeah, so, no, absolutely. And I think that what it's also done is forced us, you know, which is a familiar language to us here at Northgate, is the church is in the building, we are the church, right?
Amen.
So it really makes that that gospel message very tangible. And that's, you know, similar, man, I mean, like in our neighborhood alone, like pre-COVID, I mean, I don't think we really saw anybody. Like I knew some of my neighbors, knew their names and such, but the pandemic hit, we were all locked inside, and all of a sudden, like, people started like creeping outside. Mm. We had neighbors
that
were like playing golf with like little plastic golf balls, and they'd go from, they hit a golf ball into my yard, and they hit it to the other neighbor's yard, so they would just try to, you know, all right, there's the stump, let's see how close we can get to the stump, you know? So it's really an interesting kind of amalgamation of all of these like different backgrounds and neighbors, age ranges, ethnicities, and all kinds of stuff that just kind of came around, which wasn't there a year ago, you know? Mm. It's kind of an interesting thing. We just kind of all got out there, you know, even though we weren't really supposed to, because we were supposed to be sheltering in place, but it really did bring our neighborhood and community together, so we were being the church, essentially. So,
that's awesome.
Yeah.
So you turned friction into traction.
Oh, right? Whoa, that should be like a banner somewhere.
Friction into traction.
Yeah, I like that one. I like that. That's cool. Yeah, other cool things that we're going to be engaging with like in this COVID world is Love Manteca. That's another big thing that we're going to be engaging with. And of course, we've had tons of drive-throughs for our community. We gave out donuts, we had the bike path event. I think there was another thing, we were giving out school supplies and stuff like that. It's really forced us to get out of our traditional norms and really think outside that box when it comes to traditional church ministry.
Yeah. And I think it's exposed something in our culture that we've kind of numb to it, right? Mm. Like the sense of, I think for too long, we actually have been really lonely,
mm-hmm.
right?
Yeah.
It's not like somehow COVID hit and then we're lonely now. We've always been lonely in
right.
a sense, right? Because we've been locked in our house, really not integrating with other people, but now COVID accelerated that.
Yeah.
And it caused it to be to a point of breaking point where we go, I really need human interaction.
Yeah, right.
What better way to do it than with our neighbors?
Right, exactly. Hitting golf balls,
yeah,
plastic ones from one place to the other. Excellent. Moving along here, we've talked about some of the strengths and areas that we've seen the church. Let's maybe shift gears a little bit too. What are some of the weak areas the church finds itself during this time when it comes to, again, this affects everybody. So what are some of the insights that you see that we see pertaining to that?
Yeah, you know, I think from my perspective is that maybe missed opportunities.
Oh, okay,
missed opportunity to really being intentional with people in our lives.
Yeah. Right?
And I think part of it is because through this time, you know, we're all kind of huddled into our own little bubble.
Yeah.
Right? And there's a lot of anxiety and a lot of and also a lot of challenges. I know people who suffer through mental illness.
Yeah.
Right. And so and other challenges and maybe even unemployment.
Mm.
And so. Because of that, it's natural for us to respond maybe in fear or or even depression.
Yeah, no, absolutely.
And so, so to humanize that, I think part of that is to understand that people are in hard places,
mm-hmm.
you know, and so I think it really does take the work of the Holy Spirit to re-energize us. Waken us up out of that place and to help us re-engage with life, right? And re-engage with people, re-engage with our neighborhood in a meaningful way. So, I think that's where I feel like we can really pray into and and listening into the Spirit of God and really trusting God to do something new in us. You know, I've been listening to a song called Springtime, I think by Chris Renzema. And in one of the songs, it talks about how, you know, one of his prayer in the song is God, you know, till the soil of our heart.
Mm.
You know, it's a beautiful imagery of God gardening our heart, replanting us.
Right.
I feel like that's where the church is positioned in a place where God can really do some of those great work.
Yeah.
You know, we're ready.
Yeah.
We're at a point where we're like, God, okay, do whatever you need to do.
Right, absolutely, right.
You
it's like owning your faith, right?
Yeah.
Like owning responsibility. It's not it's not the lead pastors because we haven't seen him in person for however long it has been in a lot of churches. You know, we've been disconnected. So it's like, what was I actually believing in to begin with? Was I believing in an ideology?
Yeah.
Was I believing in a building? Was I believing and how many songs we sing or what type of songs we sing, where we should be really clinging to is this idea of the Holy Spirit really filling the gaps of our lives, essentially, you know, so.
Discipleship.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it's true, man. There's been countless conversations with folks where it's like, I didn't realize I had these feelings, you know, not good ones until church shut down. You know, it's like, huh, interesting. Like, what about that? It's like, well, I just think, I don't think I was believing in the right thing.
Mm.
You know, I don't think I was putting my trust in the right thing, you know. whereas we should be really putting all that trust into Jesus and his word and his promises.
Yeah.
So
dependence more on the Holy Spirit than our effort.
Yeah, because our effort's not like super great.
Yeah.
Amen. Yeah, I think that moving us right along, I think this dovetails perfectly into that. As we see it through our individual perspectives, where do we see the church flourishing in these future times? You know, I'm thinking like within the next, you know, 6 months period of time, you know.
So I put a little bit more thought on this because I think this is where my heart has been kind of engaging in, you know. I've been looking more towards the present and the future of things. And I think there's a renewed interest in smaller group of people gathering.
Yeah.
Because it's practical, right?
Yeah.
You can't just have bigger group.
Yeah.
And I think one of my friend, a really good friend of mine, Steve York, said to me, hey, Chin, when you think of small group, don't just think of a group of 12 people.
Yeah.
Think even smaller.
Smaller. Okay.
Think like two or three.
Mm.
Right? Because that's when real discipleship can really, really happen.
Yeah.
Right? And I think that's important. And I think it'll be great to beginning to create avenues for people to meet, whether it's at the coffee shop or on Zoom, you know, two or three people at a time, you know, engaging in the Word of God and caring for one another and really asking, hey, how's your soul?
Yeah.
You know, because I think sometimes we don't slow down enough to do that. And then I think the other one is that through this whole COVID thing, there is a taste for family worship.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Right? Like, children and grandparents and gathering at home, worshiping together. I mean, I love it when Timmy's, you know, like on Sunday morning, Rachel and I put on our favorite, you know, sermon or church, and he's raising his hand, you know, he's worshiping with us.
Yeah.
It's like, whoa, that's awesome.
Yeah, right.
And so I think that renewed interest can really give us an opportunity to really relook at discipleship from a more holistic, you know, more family-oriented kind of dynamic.
Yeah.
Because I think this whole compartmentalization of like, oh, hey, junior high school, I think it's a new invention. It's really like within the last 50 years maybe, right?
Yeah.
With the youth culture movement. Before that, how did people got discipled in family?
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah,
like Uncle Jesse come over and disciple Timmy.
That's right, absolutely.
Right? And I think that's the
beautiful. It takes a village to make
it
happen.
It really is.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah,
and I think that's beautiful. And then, lastly, technology. I think you know, there's definitely challenges and promises with technology, and using that well for the glory of God for sure. And then lastly, and I think I've mentioned this a few times already, but a stronger reliance on the Holy Spirit.
Yeah,
for sure.
Yeah,
you know, and. Because I know there's churches that are big enough where you literally can just hire interns that are not even Christian. They can, you know, if they know psychology or business, they can literally run the place,
yeah,
you know?
That's right, exactly.
It's like, you don't need the Holy Spirit, you know? But I think with COVID, it's like, oh no. Like, we really do need the Holy Spirit.
Yeah, it's like a call for
right?
like more authenticity and more like actual real relationships and those authentic connections between like both human and human, but like human in the spirit. You know what I mean?
Amen.
Like those are the things that we're really thirsting for.
Yeah.
You know? Oof. Yeah.
So that's a plug in. We're gonna be diving into 6 weeks of prayers.
That's
we're
right.
really trusting the Holy Spirit to really show up in our lives through
right.
prayers.
That's
you know?
Good. Yeah, and we're doing, and this is one of those things where we you know, speaking about the next series, it's like taking that very seriously. You know, what does that a serious prayer life, an intentional prayer life, a practical prayer life, really look like in the lives of us today, you know, amongst the pandemic, you know, because we're still in the middle of it and it's going to be a while. So these are skills, practices, and disciplines that need to be built up because we're kind of still in the middle of it. So, man, we can sit here and preach all day, Chin. Man,
this is good.
Let's keep it going here. Chin, you've been around the block here at Northgate for about 2 weeks now. 2 weeks.
Woo-hoo!
So far, so good. But you've also, lived in Manteca for a couple of years now.
Yeah.
You've gotten to know a lot of the people in our community, local leaders. How do you see Northgate playing a larger role in neighboring in our community specifically?
Yeah, I think it's such a privilege to be part of this community of believers. And I think it's a, you know, I think you probably used a term this with me before. It's an alternative community, mm-hmm. really, an alternative kingdom to what the world has to offer. Mm-hmm. You know,
yeah.
And that's what the church is really called to do. And I think of all the churches in our community, I think Northgate is really well positioned to be that voice,
yeah.
to be that prophetic voice to our city, right? God has allowed Northgate, you know, to exist here in this community for 100 years now.
100 years.
Right? Woo. There's a reason for that.
Yeah.
I really believe that.
Yeah.
You know, because at the core of it, we have, you know, something unique to offer,
mm-hmm.
right? The, you know, our theology, our Christ-centeredness, mm-hmm. our emphasis on community, mm-hmm. Emphasis on non-violence actions,
yeah.
right, and non-conformity,
yeah.
That we give our allegiance first and foremost to King Jesus,
yeah, that's right.
and not to any political party. And I'm not saying you can't be, you know, red or blue or anything in between,
yeah,
or purple, but
yellow or whatever.
Right?
Yeah.
At the end of the day, the message is that Jesus is our King, and
yeah.
our full allegiance is to Him.
Yeah.
That is traditionally a brethren. Stands,
yeah,
and
yeah.
I think that's beautiful.
Yeah,
I
absolutely.
Think that's something that we could role model to Manteca.
Yeah.
Right. And more than that, I think you know that even Pastor Jesse has talked with Love Inc.
Yeah.
Director Doug that we kind of are the guinea pig in the community
yeah.
to try new things
yes.
in terms of reaching out to our community. And
that's
I think
right.
that's crucial for us to continue to learn from. From people like Pastor Todd, Jim Todd, and also from Doug and
yep.
from other partners,
yep.
From Love Inc. to Pregnancy Hope Center,
yeah, that's
right?
right?
And
that's
to
right.
really
good
be
too, yeah.
a good partner with them in the community. And I see there's a lot of needs also in terms of mental health issues
yeah.
in our community.
Yeah.
Because my wife is a mental health specialist for Kaiser, and this whole pandemic has actually shown even more that there's a lot of need for families, for children, for youth, for young adults.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I think as a church, we could really allow God to help us to maybe help beginning to address some of those issues, to
yeah.
care deeply
mm.
about mental health issues.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I'm not even gonna add anything to that. That was great, I love that.
Thank you.
All right, Shannon, we're going to start landing the plane here a
yeah.
little bit. So we've talked a lot in a short period of time.
Yeah.
What are just maybe one or two insights to focus on as we kind of close out this series on what does it look like to neighbor? What are some one or two insights?
You know, I thought through this, and I think there are two things that really is in my heart is that the first is humility.
Mm, yeah.
I think to be good neighbors, we have to, even as Christian, to be humble.
Mm,
you know,
yeah.
To really be in a position of weakness. Look, you know, and the way that I see that is in Jesus' life. You know, he humbled himself and became a servant.
Yeah.
Right? And even in his interaction with the Samaritan woman, which she's like the outcast of outcasts, and yet. When Jesus approached her, he didn't go, hey, I have something to give you right now.
That's right.
Right?
Yeah.
He actually comes and says, hey, could you help me?
Right.
I need some water right now.
Yeah.
I'm thirsty. So he actually approached her in a position of helplessness or in a position of weakness rather than power.
Ooh,
right?
Yeah.
And I think that's so important because a lot of time with church and church work, we tend to see the needs and we go, hey, I have something to give.
That's right.
Right?
I can throw some bread, or I can
yeah.
throw some money, I can throw whatever we do.
And then our neighbors look at us and go, well, I don't need that. I don't, you know,
right.
and maybe even there's a power dynamic there that our neighbor kind of go, I'm uncomfortable with that.
That's right.
But when we go and, hey, I need help. Could
yeah.
you help me with my haircut? My neighbor cut my hair.
Hey, and it looks pretty
right?
slick, too.
And actually, out of that, I've now built a relationship with her and
yeah.
invited her to church. And
all
she,
right.
Hopefully, she'll come.
Yeah, that'd be awesome.
Right?
Yeah, absolutely.
But it's out of this, you know, hey, I need your expertise, neighbor.
Yeah.
Could you help me? You know, and so humility will take us a long way, I believe, in this season. Especially when we are confronted with new challenges. We can be okay with saying, hey, I don't have all the answer. I don't, hey, you're my neighbor, could you come along and help us?
Yeah.
Think through some of these issues.
Absolutely.
Right, as a church. And then and whether we're dealing with government or our neighbor next door, you know, here. And then the last but not least is patience. I think we need to be patient with one another, patient with our neighbors, patient with our leaders.
Yeah.
Because I think change is hard for all of us.
Yeah, there's a lot of change that happened really quickly, right?
So we're just trying new things. We don't know the answer,
right?
And so we have to be posturing ourselves with a lot of patience. And a lot of time, we're ready to change, mm-hmm. right? But our neighbors are not.
Yeah.
Right?
Oh, yeah.
And so waiting on that. And I think one of the Quaker teacher, Palmer, that I really, really like, he talks about how one of the earliest Quaker had to really be patient with his message of anti-slavery.
Right.
Right?
Okay.
He went around and sharing to his community, to his own Quaker community, hey, that slavery's wrong.
Yeah.
You know, and yet a lot of Quakers did own slaves.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and then, but he just kept preaching at it and preaching at it. And I believe it took him a whole lifetime for the Quaker community to wake up and say, yeah, you have awakened our conscience.
Right.
And he didn't shame them.
Yeah.
You know, but he was consistent in his message and living that out. And it took a whole entire lifetime for him to convince Quaker. And the Quaker were like 70 years ahead of everyone else.
That's right. Exactly.
Right?
Yeah.
And so I think that's really, really beautiful of learning how to be patient in helping our neighbor see the beauty of Jesus Christ.
Mm. Man, so. That's good. I mean, Chin, this was a great conversation, man. I think we're probably going to have more of these types of conversations in the future.
Yeah.
But I really am looking forward to the new series that's going to be kicking off next week. It's going to be awesome. I'm super excited.
Me too.
So,
woo!
Chin, how about this? You want to close this out in prayer, my friend?
Yes.
All right.
Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for your great love for us, Lord. We humbly come before you, Lord. We are empty. We're like those jars of water, Lord, and yet when you touch them, you turn them into wine. And so, Lord, we come and we present to you all that we are, Lord, all of our weaknesses, all of our challenges, all of our doubts and insecurity in the season, and fear and anxiety, Lord. And Lord, we come before you and we say, Lord, would you touch us afresh? Would you turn our life into something that would bring joy and a solution and to many people around us, God? Would you use our life to be a window into what the kingdom of God looks like here on earth as it is in heaven? And once again, Lord, we are honored and privileged to serve you here in at Northgate, Lord, Pastor Jesse and I, Lord, and other staff. And Lord, we look forward, Lord, to this season of continue to wait upon you and be directed by you, Lord. We pray, God, that you would continue to work on us, Lord, till the garden, till the soil of our heart, Lord. And we pray all this in your Son's name. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen and amen.
Amen. You know, I'm going to close with this final word. I love what you said earlier in this talk, taking that friction and turning it into traction. So, Northgate, this week, take that friction and turn it into traction. Be blessed, friends. Have a good rest of your week.